I was praying with a group of some folks in a hospital several years back, and there was somebody that had been seriously hurt, and it wasn't somebody in the church, but I had been called upon by someone that knew me to come and minister to this person. And they were in the intensive care, and I wasn't able to get in to see them, but I was able to talk with the family. And I began to talk for about 15 minutes and shared God's word on concerning healing and deliverance. I think I read every psalm and proverb that I knew that might apply to the situation, and really got the family in a place where we could believe God for something great to happen. So then we all caught hands, and then we prayed a prayer of faith. And I really felt, I mean, you just sometimes just sense things are turning as you're speaking it, as you're praying it, and I felt that happening. And then afterward, one of the family members began to talk. That can be dangerous depending on who it is. And this particular person began to talk, and they began to say, you know, God is in control, and His will be done. And I just sat there and began to be quenched as I realized that all that we had done in the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, was beginning to change. Because the person said that God is in control. Do you know that God is not in control? You know, we say that and we hear people say that, but that's not the truth. If God isn't in control, then why doesn't He make you love your spouse? If God is in control, why doesn't He make you go to church or make you tithe or make you do anything? No, God is not in control. You know, so many times when you're in different situations and a person may die and someone may say, well, God took that person. God's not taking anybody. He's not in the taking business. He's in the giving business. It says in John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so we need to realize God's not in control. We're in control of our lives. We're in control of our destinies. And we are in control of our lives. Now, God has a purpose. God has a plan. But it won't automatically come to pass just because you're a Christian. And let me make this statement. We have more to do with when we die than God does. Think about that now. We have more to do with when we die than God does. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. It doesn't say God will do the choosing. It doesn't say your mate will do the choosing. It doesn't say your parents will do the choosing. It says that you are to choose between life and death. Now, it's pretty obvious to me, which one should we choose? He says to choose life. Choose means to pick out and select. It means to decide on a course of action. We decide on our destinies. We decide what happens. And so therefore, the phrase God is in control is not true according to God's word. We are in control of our destiny. We are in control of our lives. And again, God has a plan. God has a will for our lives, but we must choose to walk in that will. Let me give you an example. Jesus died 2,000 years ago so that we may be saved to live the abundant life here on the earth, and when we die, to go to heaven. Is that correct? But there had to be a day for us where we had to choose life and decide to accept God's salvation plan. Now, was there anybody here that God made you come to the altar and get saved? God made you pray the prayer of salvation? No, that's not God's way. God's way is according to Isaiah chapter 1, if you be willing, and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. It has to do with your will. Now, and again, God's got a plan. It's important to line up your will with His will, and then good things will happen. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But it's not going to happen for you until you choose it, until you decide. Verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. So when He's saying choose life, He's saying to choose Him. He's saying to choose God. If you choose God, you are choosing life. They go together. So what does it mean to choose God? Of course, it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But it also means to make a decision to put the Word of God first place in your life. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So I think it's smart to choose life. If you say then you're choosing life, then you say you're choosing God, because He is life. But then if you choose God, you can't separate God from His Word. And so if you are choosing God, you are choosing His Word. They're the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable." It's inspired by God. Mark chapter 13, verse 31 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away." The Word of God is eternal. It goes on forever. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp unto My feet and a light unto My path." It'll give you direction. It'll give you guidance. It will help you to see clearly in life. God's got a way. God's got a plan. He's got a manual for success, and it's called His Word, the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you," or "the truth will make you free." Choose life, choose God, choose His Word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Thank God for His Word. What would you do without the Bible? You know, sometimes I just like holding the Bible. This makes me feel good. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "For the Word that God speaks is alive. It's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective." Did you know the Word of God is alive? It's full of power. It's full of energy. It's full of truth. It's a living thing. My words are power. My words are spirit. My words are life. So this is important. This is important to you. If you want to choose life, if you say that you choose God, then you have to choose His Word. And His Word is something that we must be diligent about putting in our ears, in our eyes, and speaking. And of anything that should remain constant in our lives, in a world that's changing and so many things are happening, this is the constant. This is the thing we need. Do you eat meals every day? Do you eat food every day? Well, it's more important. Yeah, we do eat meals every day. It's more important to put God's Word in and feed your spirit. Look, you're in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. "Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." I like that. The word of His power. The word contains power. And so if you ever need some strength, you ever need some energy, you ever need some encouragement, you ever need healing, whatever it is that you need, take God's word and feed on it because it's full of power. The word of his power. And I like that because his power is released in words. And we are created in his image and likeness. Ephesians chapter 5 says to imitate God as little children do their fathers. You know, there's a lot of times, I mean, I've got two sons, and I'm in there brushing my teeth or shaving. And what do your kids do? They want to come in and be like you and do what you're doing. Using deodorant, shaving, whatever. They want to be like you. They want to imitate you. Well, God is saying here that we are to imitate him. And if he releases power through his words, then we're to do the same. Not one bit of power has left God's word from the time that he spoke it. It's still as powerful as it was 2,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, whatever it was. God's word contains power. It contains life. Now, the word of God, when it's spoken and when you hear it, it produces faith in man's heart. And faith is God's word being alive on the inside of you. Faith is where God's word becomes so real, you believe it as truth. Faith is God's power or God's energy on the inside of you. This is very simple today. Choose life. Choose God. Choose his word. But we can't stop there. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. The disciples had a request of Jesus. And Jesus often spent time with the disciples explaining what he had just preached. Explaining about the parables. Explaining about the stories. And so they had this kind of relationship and they would ask him questions. But Luke 17 verse 5 I think is a good question or request. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you need more faith? Do you ever feel inadequate? Do you ever feel like what you have is not enough? You're not up to the task? So I think this is a good request here. Increase our faith. And we all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. But he says something interesting here to answer their request. Verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, just a little bit of faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We need more faith. If only if I had more faith. But what Jesus was saying, you don't need as much faith as you think you need. You need to release your faith, and the things you desire will begin to happen for you. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I like that. We choose our destiny. We choose what kind of life we're going to lead. We choose where we're going in life. God has a plan, but it's up to us to find out the plan. It's up to us to walk in our authority to make the plan come to pass. So you make a decision today to choose life, to choose God, to choose his word, but then you also have to take it to the next step. Choose to speak his word. Because that's where the power is. That's where the power is released. And I've just been thinking about this. What happens if life was as simple as going to a restaurant and ordering a meal? I mean, we'd all be kind of, well, that's really too easy. But have you ever noticed you get what you ask for? We were eating in Calgary waiting for our airplane to come back to Atlanta. And there was this restaurant, and we decided we were hungry. Of course, they don't have food in the airlines anymore, so we're going to go to the restaurant. And I was feeling like having a hamburger. You ever get that feeling for, you know, I've been out of the United States for a while, and you got to have a good, greasy hamburger. And so we were eating at an American restaurant, and we were going to have some American food, and I wanted a hamburger and some French fries. And I looked on the menu, and you know what? They had 5 different kinds of hamburgers. And I looked at all 5 different kinds, and you know, this fourth one really caught my eye. It had grilled mushrooms, onions, lettuce and tomato. I mean, they had this picture on there, this big, juicy, thick hamburger. You ever bring up food to this church, and that's when they start getting excited. They really get excited about hamburgers. There's going to be a lot of grills going today. But you know, I was not surprised when they brought out the hamburger the way I ordered it. Why? Because that's what I asked for. That's what I ordered. Now, what happens if life was really as simple as that? Now, there is times when you have to wait. And maybe when you're getting fast food, there's times you can get it almost instantly. But the other times you have to wait, and sometimes you may have to wait a while. But the order is going to come the way you ordered it. And so I think people think that prayer or faith, that they may ask God for something, and in his infinite wisdom, he's going to give you something else. Now again, I mean, you have to order according to the menu. There's a lot of options in here. A lot of choices. But you got to order according to the menu. You got to order off the menu. But you can have as much or as little as you like. You can sit there and not eat anything. You don't have to order anything. And if you don't order anything, nothing's going to come. But then you can sit there and order the biggest meal. You can order 6 of whatever you want. It's up to us. Now, again, you can't have faith for something that's not on the menu. It's got to be in the menu. Turn to John 15 and in verse 7. Is this too deep for you today? Too complicated? You got to have a doctorate or a master's degree to understand this today? Well, if it's too complicated, just get the tape and go over it and study it, and hopefully something will come here. John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It is the word of God abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. I love the Bible. The Bible just lays it out how we are to live our lives. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the menu for us. This is the manual. This is our pattern for living. In here is everything that we need to have a successful, rich life here on earth. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it mentions the words law of faith. That there are laws in God's word. There's the law of seed time and harvest. There's the law of faith. You know what a law is. I mean, we have federal laws. We have state laws. We have laws that govern finance. We have laws, the laws of physics. We have the laws of electricity. There are certain laws and principles. Now, something about that's interesting about a law, it could have a good side to it or a bad side to it. Just take, for example, the law of electricity. There are definite blessings for using and applying the laws of electricity correctly. Is that right? We have lights. We have air. Thank God for air conditioning in 90-degree weather. We can cook, use our computers, watch TV. So many things. I mean, when was that? In the wintertime last year? We were without power for like 3 or 4 days. My whole life just shut down. I was helpless. What can I do except just shiver in my house? But it's a blessing. But also there's a negative side. This same power can kill, it can burn, and it can destroy. My son Grayson was out by the pool, and we have this air pump, electric air pump. You plug it in, push the button, and it fills up the float or whatever it is you want to fill up. Well, Grayson was going to do this one day, and he'd just gotten out of the pool. And he grabbed the thing, the cord, to plug it in, and his hand was all wet. He stuck it in the socket and got water on there, and man, there was a big shock that went through his arm. It went through his arm all the way up into his shoulder. And he actually had a mark on his arm, a burn mark on his arm. The other day, I was changing a light in my daughter's room. A lot of things can happen when you do that. But I was smart enough because I had worked with electricity. I flipped the breaker off. I know a little bit about how things, I know about the wiring and different things. But I've also learned to be smart and flip the breaker. What was the difference between Grayson and myself working with electricity? Understanding. Knowledge. But it's interesting, though, that even though Grayson didn't know how the laws of electricity, it still worked for him. Isn't that interesting? It still worked. And that socket was no respecter of persons. The socket didn't say, well, Grayson is a sweet, cute kid, and he's only 7. He doesn't really understand this. You know what? We're going to give Grayson a break today. We're not going to shock him. That's not what happened. He got shocked. He got zapped. He got zapped real good. Because there's a law working there. And you have to understand the laws and work with them. And if you understand the laws, you're going to get the benefit. But just like in physics or electricity or mathematics or finance, or whatever area, there's laws, spiritual laws. And we have to understand these laws and then not only understand them, but to get them to work for us. And so there is a law of faith. There is a law of seed time and harvest. And these principles work just like other laws. And so there is a law concerning faith that says you can have what you say. Now, we may not like that law. We may not understand that. We may be ignorant of it. But whether you understand it or ignorant or whatever, it's still going to work for you because it's a spiritual law. And it's going to work every time. In fact, it's working for you right now. And just like electricity, it can have a good and it can have a bad. It can have a positive and it can have a negative. You can have what you say. Now, this law, particular law, you can have what you say. You know, I've been working on this particular law for over 20 years now. And to work it, it takes discipline. It takes a lot of reminding. I'm reminding you today. It takes correcting yourself when you say something stupid. It takes correcting yourself when you say something that's not according to God's word. But you know, my problem with speaking God's word has not been saying the wrong things. I've learned what to say and what not to say. It's not saying the wrong things. What something that I'm dealing with is saying the right thing. Because sometimes we just let things happen to us. Sometimes things happen to us and we don't do anything about it. I think that's an area where we can all work and look at our lives and say, yeah, this is a weak area. So You have what you say. So it's not just saying the wrong thing. It's also saying the right thing. And so many times I forget to order off the menu. I forget to ask God for what I want. You have not because you ask not. Or I forget that I'm in control of my destiny and I'm in control of my life. And you exercise control and authority with your words. That's where power is released. If you want any situation to change, I don't care what it is. If you want any situation to change, you're going to have to exercise your authority. And it's not enough for your faith to be in your heart. Faith must be in your mouth. Paul said in Corinthians, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We believe, and therefore we speak. These are laws. These are principles. And these work all the time. And whether you like it or not, they're working for you right now. And I hope it's a good thing. I hope it's a blessing to you. God said to choose life. He's wanting our lives to be blessed. He's wanting our lives to be abundant. He wants our lives to be overflowing with good things. He wants good things to happen to us, but we have to cooperate. We have to choose His will and choose His way of doing things. And when we do that, when we begin to believe and speak in accordance with His word, that's when things start happening for us. That's what happened the day that you were saved. That's what happened the day that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The good things that happen to you happen because of your words. And this is important to know, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we look to other places for God's blessings or for things to happen in our lives. We want someone else to be in control. Someone else to determine our destiny. No, God made you a spirit, a soul, and a body. He gave you a will. He gave you the ability to make decisions. He gave you the ability to determine how your life will go. I want to give you a challenge to read through the book of Proverbs and look for scriptures about the power of words. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. We were climbing a mountain in the Canadian Rockies. We were at Lake Louise, and they have several mountains right around that lake. And we decided one day we're going to go on this mountain hike. But Susie forgot to tell us that this is a moderate to difficult hike. Because whenever you're climbing up a mountain, there's a lot of factors involved. First of all, depending how good a shape you're in. Secondly, if they say it's 2 miles, you got to add the incline factor. And thirdly, you've got altitude situations that you may not be used to breathing at that altitude. So we were all excited and all giddy and all happy at the bottom. But as we started to climb, I saw real quickly we're in trouble. We're in big trouble, you know. And I was walking in the front, and I was trying to act like I had it all together. And I would stop, I would get out so far ahead so I could stop and take a bigger rest than the rest of the group. But we stopped, and I mean, we were... I'm telling you, I mean, it was like that. And, you know, other people, they have all their gear. I mean, they have the spike shoes and they have the walking stick. And They all look all fit and trim and just like they've, you know, just climbed some 10,000-foot mountain the other day, and this is just a, you know, a walk in the park for them. So they're just walking right by us. But I tell you, you know, it really plays with your mind when you do something like that, because you're really fighting and saying, your body's telling you, quit. Your body's saying, stop, turn around. Well, first take a break, turn around, and go back home. This mountain has whipped you. You might as well just give up. And so, you know, you're fighting all these thoughts, and your body is cooperating with your mind, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not up to this. You know, I was carrying the backpack, and the water lid was left open, and the water began to drain, and I'm wet, I'm sweaty, I wear the wrong shoes, the wrong clothes. This is not going well. So we get to this place, and we take it after about a 10th break. And it was so funny because there was one guy who passed us. He's now coming down the mountain with his big smile on his face. And so we're just sitting there, and all of us are thinking, it, man, we're going to quit. This is just too much. But then this couple, older folks, I won't say what age that is, they stopped and they said, oh, how are you doing? And they're coming down. And they begin to say to us, you know, if you just keep on going for a little ways, they were lying, but just up around that bend, if you keep on going, there's a beautiful lake up there. And the lakes there are not like some of the lakes around here. They're green color, emerald color. And the water is clear. You can see right to the bottom. And so they begin to talk about this lake. And yeah, and so you get there. And then when you get to there, then you can see the tea house. What's the tea house? The tea house is where they have food. And they have tea. And so they began, and they said, the sandwiches are so delicious, and the tea is just out of this world. And so, you know, we begin to perk up. I want that tea. My water's gone. I'm thirsty. And so they talked to us, and then I tell you what, we had a renewed spirit. And we got up, and we went to that lake, and we were skipping rocks and having a good time, and they said, all right, let's go to the top. And, well, I want to say we marched, but we walked up to the tea house, I don't know, 8 or 9,000, huh? We drug ourselves. And we got up there, and it's just this little place, this little log cabin place, and it's got a balcony that overlooks this lake and this beautiful mountain. And we sat there on our little stumps. And they brought us a peanut butter sandwich that was out of this world. I'm telling you, it was the best peanut butter sandwich I've ever had. I'm telling you, I mean, I was just like every little I dropped a crumb and I was fighting with a bird over it, you know. And we had these little biscuits with honey on them. And then we had Earl Grey tea, hot tea. And I'm telling you, this was the best Earl Grey that I've ever had. It may be the only Earl Grey I've ever had, but it was certainly the best. I mean, words were spoken to us. Words of encouragement that turned that trip around for us. Someone spoke those words to us. That just shows you how powerful words are. And so on the way down the mountain, and I'm telling you, coming down was exciting because you're just downhill. We walked the whole way, no stopping. Because I couldn't stop my legs. But you know what we did? We saw a couple about at the same place we were, and we stopped and encouraged them. And the guy asked me, he said, "Do they have beers up there?" I said, "No, but they have tea that it tastes so good, it's just like beer." And he got excited, man. He took off. Proverbs 12. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip, you have a truthful lip? The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. It adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. One last verse. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want to get to the place in my life where this verse is true. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let not one of his words fall to the ground. What would you do if Jesus came in, walked in down the center aisle, and came to your seat? And he said to you, and he put his hand on your forehead, and he said, "From now on, whatever you say will come to pass." Some folks would just stand up and say, "Well, Jesus, that just tickles me to death." Boom! They died laughing. But you know, he's already said it. Mark 11, verse 23. You have what you say. And it's only the mercy of God we don't have everything we say. But you have to believe what you're saying. Believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. That's why you can get away with some things. But if you say something over and over and over, your spirit man is made to believe. To believe words. And once that spirit man hooks up with what's being said and you believe it in faith, it'll come to pass, good or bad. So it's so vital today. I want to be the church where our words don't fall to the ground, that what we say comes to pass. And so I want to encourage you today, of course, don't say the wrong thing. Correct yourself when you do. But start saying more of the right thing. Start ordering off the menu. You can't go wrong speaking God's word. And when you speak God's word, it's just as powerful as if Jesus himself spoke it. And it'll work. It'll work for you, and it'll work in every area of your life. No longer say God is in control. Begin to say, "I'm in control. With God's help, I'm going to overcome. With God's help, I'm going to be a success. And yes, God's got a plan. And I'm going to walk in that plan, but I've got to choose life today." Choose life. Choose God. Choose his word. Choose to speak his word. I tell you, that is a formula. That is a pattern for success. That's a pattern for the abundant life here on the earth. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, everybody.